Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you very much for tuning in for our show for tonight. And before I actually invite our guest, I just wanted to let you know, I always forgot to mention that if you have any questions for us or for the guest, please give us a call at 888-627-6008. Well, thank you so much. And let's introduce our absolutely amazing guest. And tonight we are actually going to beautiful Hungary. Good evening, Eva Daly.
Good evening. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You are welcome. Listen, I'm so thankful that you said yes, because I know it's a little difficult for you because it's already 2 o'clock in the morning over there. So it will be a little tough time. But listen, we will keep you, you know, excited. So, Eva, you are welcome. I'm so excited. You are bringing a huge amount of information. And I'm so delighted because our conversation tonight will be about the science of consciousness. And as I told you, my show is about conscious living and awakening. So you are a perfect match for our show and for our listeners. And what I would love to do is let our listeners know about your background a little. You have a background in cell biology. You've been also working in the cancer research, which I'm absolutely amazed. And I would really wanted to talk more about that because this is going in the direction of health and wellness. And also you are co-author of 16 peer review publication. You are also a visual artist. So pretty much you have a great diversity. Also, a keen observer of people. Also, you are sensitive to the emotional complexity of life. And what is absolutely amazing to me, what I really like about it is that you are a self-taught scholar of theoretical physics, neurology, and evolutionary biology. And the biggest one is you also are author of the book, Science of Consciousness, Practically a Nature of the Consciousness. So did I miss something?
No, that was perfect. Thank you very much for introducing me to your listeners.
You're very welcome. The reason why I wanted to do all this thing is that normally I, you know, let my guests to do that. But, you know, I'm so amazed because you have such a spectrum of you know, different background that makes sense that you kind of collected this all information and, you know, put it in the book. But first, Eva, what I would really like to ask the question is, what is consciousness? And also from there on, do you mind to help us to understand what was your desire and what was the motivation behind all this research and then put into the book?
All right, let's start with consciousness.
Yeah, it's a heavy duty.
Yes, it's a heavy duty. And when you look at Wikipedia or information on the internet, you will find various definitions. So it's not very well defined concept. But I think consciousness is basically a sense of being different from the environment. So this awareness of being different from the environment. And your other question was my motivation to do this work, because this is a many years of work to get this hypothesis together, to write a book about it. So certainly you cannot do it without some major motivation. And I think as you grow, you mature in life, you start to have more overarching questions. Of course, when I was young, I was enthusiastic about what I have been doing, and becoming a mother changes you, And as you see your children growing up, it changes you again. And as you see your parents pass, or these changes of life inspires you to look at different questions, more overarching questions of life. And for me, consciousness became most inspiring problem, and I devoted many years of my life, over 6 years of my life, to work on this question. And quite frankly, my first inspiration was about gravity, and that little idea, if you will, started a search. And that's how I became interested in theoretical physics. And I noticed that there was some connection with how the mind works.
So let me ask you this, yes. Ava. When you say gravity, what was the trigger point? What happened that, you know, it just kind of, you know, motivated you?
Well,
the reason why, because it's interesting. I wanted, because you have the state, you have the statement you're talking about, the emotional gravity. So this is why I'm actually asking
yes.
the question.
that's a you have perfect question, by the way.
Well, listen, I studied you.
Yeah, I can tell.
Thank you.
So what I noticed that people hold on to relationships with things, relationships with each other, with other people, or even perhaps with animals, just like gravity holds on to matter. So I realize that there is some similarity. Not even similarity, something that is identical. And once you have that sense, then you can begin to go and see deeper. What could be the reason that leads to this recognition? What could be behind the two different, apparently, seemingly different phenomena that somehow makes them connect on a deeper level. And
you know, everybody is so fascinating. I'm just listening to you right now. It's different when I'm reading you, but when I'm listening right now, what is amazing to me,
yes.
we actually even not go into this, you know, gravity to apply in our daily lives.
Magdalena, I realize that people hold on to relationships as gravity holds on to matter. And mm-hmm. that was the if you will, the seed of this idea. And I was just following it like a dog follows the scent of the bone. And it led me to consciousness. So that's the title of my book, The Science of Consciousness, and I am pleased to say that it's available on Amazon from last year. And so your listeners can find it there, and I will be. It will be my pleasure to talk about that and talk about the emotional side of consciousness.
Yes,
which is,
I love
which
that
is,
piece.
I think, the most exciting part.
Yes, absolutely. When I was reading that part, Eva, I mean, I was totally amazed, because when you're talking about that, emotions are the elementary forces of the mind. And they are actually the evolutionary survival tools. I said, hallelujah, finally somebody is waking up to that too.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And you perfectly captured the essence of this idea. Thank you.
Well, the reason why I am saying that, Eva, because I'm working in a health and wellness myself, over 20 years, and I'm working with the body, and I'm recognizing, and this is before we went to before we lost the conversation, what I was trying to say to you is that it was amazing to me to find about the emotional gravity, because, you know, when we hear the word gravity, we just kind of relate to the physics. We never would think about that has actually impact in our daily lives.
Oh, yes. And that's a perfect point, because when they study people, you know, in a lab, they prompt people to feel regret or remorse, you know, with some tricky questions. And mm-hmm. then they give people these tasks. Those people who were prompted to feel remorse or regret will say that the task is more difficult than those people who weren't.
Okay. That makes sense, because it look like, when I'm working with my clients, I'm recognizing people who are more emotionally stable, they have a different connection to their body. Okay, let's continue with our, we are dealing with the emotional gravity, come on.
Oh, yes, exactly. And gravity is an ever-present force. We feel it in our life when we lose balance. Of course, immediately we find out about gravity. When we sit in the elevator, we find out about gravity. But actually, it's there all the time. We cannot shield ourselves from gravity. And that's the same thing with emotional gravity. It's ever present in our lives. And we, of course, notice when we lose its support, but it's always very important, and I will love to talk about it or other aspects about the mind, about consciousness, of course.
Absolutely, we wanted to do that. But what I'm also fascinated, I took zillions of notes. And so what I wrote here down is that emotions are part of the process of homeostasis. That was amazing, by which the body maintains its stability. It's from this neuroscientist Damasio.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes, I agree, and he certainly understands a lot about emotions, and that's why I quoted from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, also, we wanted to talk about the mind and consciousness, emotions, all of them, so are you there?
Yes, I am there, and this is... fascinating question, of course. And so what you mentioned, this quote about the homeostasis, mm-hmm. of course, is that emotions occur because we lose this sense of homeostasis. It's a big word, of course, but basically what it says that we lose balance. And just earlier, I was talking about gravity, that when you are about to fall over, when you lose balance, then you know about gravity because you fall, of course. The reason that you fall when you lose balance, because of gravity. If you lose balance in space, you don't fall. So this is the reason about gravity. And in our mental life, when we lose balance, then we find out about emotional gravity, because we feel pain, not physical pain, but emotional pain, which is just as feels just as real as physical pain. And I think this is the important element here, that when we feel shame, when we feel that we lost the car key that was just right here. That's just a painful feeling. And this is what emotional gravity does when we lose a loved one due to passing on or just because they don't love us anymore. We feel emotional gravity. And what is important here, I think, the take-home message, how inherent in us the emotions, even if we don't conscious of them, behind our consciousness, these emotions operate in our lives and dictate what we do
and how
we act and how we decide. Yes.
That's amazing, because the next question would be that you were saying that the negative emotion manipulate the mental state from the background.
Exactly. And this is the thing, that we have a colorful emotional life. We must have a colorful emotional lives. And I talk a lot in my blogs and in my book how negative emotions affect us negatively in our health, our mind, and everything about us. So it leads long-term loneliness, anxiousness, depression, and just plain negative emotions are toxic, and they kill us. They found that those people who feel over the long term, even unemployment, long-term unemployment, it leads to death from all causes earlier than otherwise. So these are extremely important information. But you don't want to get rid of negative emotions, because the colorful emotional life is extremely important. What you want to get rid of is long-term negative emotions.
Okay.
So the positive emotions lead to success, health, long life, and just overall happiness. And that's fantastic. But negative emotions don't kill you unless you ruminate about them over long
forever.
Time, for months, forever, exactly. And that is what's dangerous. So that's why meditation is so important. Just having healthy goals are important. Having healthy relationships are important. All these things, smelling the beautiful roses, you know, take time to enjoy the little things in life. That could be your dinner, that could be walking outside and having a relaxing walk alone or with your partner, or the little things in life makes a huge difference. So
exactly what I was trying to connect, because that was fascinating when I was reading that aspect, Eva, what it really hit me. I said, oh my God, look at the economic crisis, what we are dealing right now, and all the stuff what's going on in the last 10, 15 years, you know, the war and everything else. I mean, our nervous system or the immune system is constantly on this alert. And that is actually a long term.
Yes, that's a long term, but we don't have to take it personally. When we take things personally and worry and ruminate, that's the dangerous over long term. And this is a very good point. When we look around in our lives, then we find that the world is full of tumult and dangers, and it's very easy to get caught in this environment and get emotionally affected by it, but you don't, it doesn't have to happen. And this is why I talk so much about it in my blogs. And I invite your listeners to read some of these blogs, because they can take home information from it, how to change your lives when you have goals. Just little goals. You cannot start with a huge goal like I will save the world. You know, you have to start in little steps. And when you achieve that, you get there, you can start another goal and then enlarge your goal. And you will find that little by little, you become more confident and you feel better about yourself. Or you can start a yoga class. You can meditate at home or with your partner, or you can go to a group setting, and that's just the same way. What I usually say is that this is like being in a boat. That is your life. And if you have a boat and you want to move fast on the water, you cannot rock side to side.
That's a great analogy.
That's the same thing in your life. When you want to move forward, and that's the point in your, in everything, you want to move forward. We feel it. The time changes, and when you don't feel that, you financially, mentally, we feel better, then we don't have that sense that we are moving forward. And when we get stuck, it's very easy to rock side to side and be nervous about everything, that our neighbor lost their job, or that my child is sick, or my parents are having problems, whatever. But when we are ruminating about all these questions, then we cannot move forward. And this is going back and forth. When you are too much affected with everyday problems, you lose your job, your spouse gets sick, then you start to move side to side, and you notice that you are not moving forward, you know? So the two things are connected. You either move rock side to side like this boat, or you move forward. And to stop rocking, you have to meditate. But when you want to move your boat in a quick, fast pace, you have to have goals. So
ideally, you have to have actions too.
Yes, yes, exactly, to follow up. So yes. These are two legs, if you will. These are two steps, crucial, essential steps of what you can do to beautify your life.
Well, you know what is amazing?
Make yourself happy.
You know what is amazing? I really like the statement when you said we cannot control our emotions, but we can master them.
Oh, thank you. That's a very, very important. That's again, you have the sense to pick up the essence of what I sometimes write in many, many words. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because this is exactly the point and the essence of this idea, that we cannot control our emotions. We have to feel. Negative emotions are wonderful. They warn us about danger. They tell us when a situation is uncomfortable, when we have to avoid a person, or we have to make a different decision. You know, it's fantastic. Or when we are faced with somebody who is going to cheat us. So emotions are extremely important, and you have to feel them, because it helps. They help us to lead a wonderful, intelligent life. And because of emotions, we can lead an intelligent, informed life.
Yeah, and you know what was fascinating to me, what I was recognizing, you know, reading different blog articles, what I recognized that there's actually a blend, as you were talking about, between meditation and setting goals. They are not separate, but they are intertwined. So practically, that's the mastery, what I found, actually, that, you know, you work with your emotions, but also you're mastering, you know, how you're, you know, driving your boat practically.
Exactly, exactly. So if you already meditate, you do yoga, you pay attention to awareness, then that's wonderful, because once you center yourself, you have this inner confidence, then your life will naturally unfold from this, almost like this moment will roll forward into eternity. You know, it guarantees it will allow you to naturally look forward toward the future. Or if you have goals and you don't care about meditation, that's just equally wonderful. So what I want your listeners to know, that you don't have to do everything. If mm-hmm. you can just mm-hmm. focus on one aspect that you know will help you, you know, to enjoy the moment, to have a loving relationship, and the love is probably the most important thing in your life you can do.
Well, you know, Ava, what was amazing to me, what I was recognizing, you know, when I was reading another aspect, when you're talking about the structural unity in the cosmos, I was realizing that, you know, even you're talking about, according to ancient religions and ancient traditions, that you know, they are talking about this, the organic unity of the existence. So that really actually gave me a different outlook, because in many situations, right? For instance, you know, you have the New Age movement of people who wanted to think they are too spiritual and the other one are too goal-oriented, blah, blah, blah. There's this huge division, okay? And when I was reading that, I said, oh, my God, on the much deeper level, if we could actually bring this together instead to separate and go into judgment, there would be a much different balancing life.
Oh, that's perfectly said, Magdalena. Thank you. Exactly. That's so true. And I am so thankful that you brought this up. Exactly. And so this is another aspect again, that when you have relationships that are troublesome, And we mentioned about emotional gravity. When people mm-hmm. are critical, then precisely you feel this insecurity. It makes you feel inferior, insecure, and that
Absolutely,
is
yes.
attacking this stability that comes from this emotional gravity. You feel that the ground is being pulled from under you. So that's why it feels so terrible. But you can improve your relationships with anybody if you try to look at the situation as it is, that it is their insecurity actually that causes them to be critical of you. So this is not a personal thing. And when you recognize these relationships, you can forgive that person even after the thing happened. And it mm-hmm. will save your mind from this rumination, from this insecurity. Because when you understand, you rose above the problem. So when you next meet with them, you don't feel hurt. You can continue the relationship in an equal footing, in a natural footing, and they will appreciate that. So this way, your relationship with others will improve, because we tend to retaliate to people when we feel hurt next time. And this is what you already mentioned, that unconsciously our negative mm-hmm. emotions want to take a revenge. It's not you. It's your mind that is working on looking for, you know, just trying to find an opening toward the other person to hit back.
And you realize afterwards
that, oh my God, what I heard that person. Oh, I feel bad now. So then both of you feel bad, you know, and you just try to become distant from each other, which is not good. But when you forgive, you truly forgive to the other people because it's not personal. You have to realize that. So these things are all interconnected. And what you mentioned earlier, that the universe, there is an organic unity. In our lives, we reflect the universe. So when mm-hmm. we create this separation from others, from, I don't know, from the Republicans, from the Democrats, and, you know, from the... There are these problems that... we like to focus on, you know, mm-hmm. if we say that, oh, if we just solve that problem.
Well,
then
don't you think that's true. Actually the stage of rocking the boat?
Precisely. Yes. Oh, you see this so perfectly. When a society is rocking the boat, quote-unquote.
That's right now, collective consciousness. Yes,
collective consciousness. Then the society collectively cannot move forward. So we have to forgive each other because the problem is created in us. It's not them, not the immigrants, not the Republicans, not the Democrats. It's us. It's in our own mind that we create this division. Actually, to solve problems, we need everybody, really, literally.
To participate, yes.
To participate. Mm-hmm. In the world, we have enormous problems that needs the participation of everybody to come together and... So we have to start with ourselves. If we improve our relationships with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our boss, with our co-workers, our life will become more successful, we'll become happier, we become more confident, and we find that the others, the world, is going to come to want to help us.
You know, so the way I'm listening, this is so simple, but we are so complicating everything.
Yes. And these are the wonderful thing that when you do small steps, you will notice differences in your life. And that will encourage you to do a little larger step and a little larger step. There is a Chinese proverb that to climb a huge mountain, you have to start with the first step first. Mm-hmm. So little tiny steps will lead you a long way if you start them today. Why don't you start today to take a deep breath, to slow down? And why don't you start today when you find yourself in a critical environment to remember it and to think about it afterwards, that this is not personal.
Eva, but because the emotions are so raw, it's very hard for people not to take personal, so they have to digest it first.
Yes, exactly. And for this is what yoga and meditation helps to digest it. To read the words of the wise people, try to find quotes that talks to you. Because these quotes, these words, can help you to understand things in a deeper level. And once you understand things in a deeper level, you can forgive. You can forgive. Well, this is like if you have a child who tries to hurt you physically, you cannot get angry at that child. You hardly even feel it. That's the same way when you feel more confident inside. You have an inner confidence because of the things you do. You know, you are more conscious of what's going on. You meditate, you have all these things. Then you can see the problems as they are, just problems. Immediately, mm-hmm. The importance becomes smaller. So when you are disturbed by criticism or for the whatever happens in the world, you know, the problems in the world, that because you feel yourself small. When you become more confident, then these problems become smaller. It's like, you know, everything is relative. When you are a little mouse, then a house looks like a mountain. But when you are a tall man, then a house immediately seems much smaller.
Yeah. Well, in your book, actually, I loved you were talking about different stages of evolution, and you were talking about different periods, and you talk about that every evolutionary period eventually become unstable. So my question to you, because we don't have too much more time, so I just wanted to ask you a few more questions here that I would like to have an answer to it. So when you're talking about that they're becoming unstable, so practically I feel you're saying that in the third stage, you know, this is where, you know, the corruption, lying and stealing comes into. And I realize this is the stage where we are. Is it, and before it collapses, can we actually turn around and change that?
I am optimistic because we are at the threshold of mm-hmm. a new era. It's really this, you know, evolution does occur in phases, and economical changes have this cyclicity to them also. Mm-hmm. But there are big shifts, and that's what we feel. That's what everybody is talking about. If indeed we can see relationships, changed relationships. We can change over the large scale of things. There are many things that are going for us. The internet makes everything different.
Amazing, yes.
So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Automatization makes everything different. Our lives radically changes. And if we can, as individuals and as governments, take advantage of these technological advances and social advancements, then we can avoid repeating another cycle, which would bring chaos mm-hmm. and terrible
collapse.
Things collapse. Mm-hmm. And this mm-hmm. is a real danger. I mean, governments, United States government and Europe government, Japanese governments, you know, big governments realize this. And they are trying to, since for years now, they are taking steps trying to avoid disaster. But, mm-hmm. You know, once they will run out of tools. And then, because we postpone the problem, the disaster
yes.
could be even more immense, you know?
It almost looked like the negative emotions, you know, they're right now
yes,
running from the
yes,
background.
Exactly. So, but this is the thing, that we are at the point where so many things are going for us. And if the changes could be synchronized in such a way that we come out on the positive side. And the fantastic thing that humanity have the tendency historically to avoid disaster, but also humanity has the tendency tendency to skirt disaster until
Absolutely,
the last
to
minute.
put it.
So we are not the kind of species that sees that, oh, there is the specific, we better slow down. No, we go full tilt until we get to the brink, and then we crash to a halt, and then we are so ingenious people. I mean, just fantastic how creative people can become when they realize that the next step, we are falling. You know, here is the precipice. There is no more forgiving. You know, we cannot go
you
anymore.
You better wake up and do yesterday.
You better wake up. And then somehow we just come together and move in a different direction and we make it. So I am very optimistic, but I have the feeling that we tend to go until the brink, unfortunately.
Yes. I hear you.
And how nice would it be to change? Yeah. But if your listeners, if you can change in your own life, then you are way ahead of the competition. When you change your mind, you change your environment. This is the fantastic thing. So try it. You must try it.
So, Ava, all these things, what we conversation, what we had, you actually have in your book? Because I didn't have that the whole.
Yes, of course. I
oh, my God, that is awesome.
And the book is a little technical because I try to talk about, as you said, theoretical physics, evolution, and the mind. So this is everything. It's a big, big material. But you can start in my blog and read the blogs, which are much more practical, of what you can do to enhance your creativity. Today we were talking about it a little bit, that we are living in a new, different world, which we don't realize yet. But today, I don't care what kind of job you have, you almost in your job description, creativity is a requirement. Or if it's not requirement today, tomorrow it will be. And I guarantee you that your job will disappear if the creativity is not a job requirement.
Yes.
Because no matter what you do, you are working with technology in such way that it and changes are speeding up. So you have new problems every day. Even if you have the most fantastic diploma, if you don't use it in 3-5 years, you can throw it out.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
So you have to renew yourself. You have to learn. You have to change. And this.
Ava, do you mind give our listeners also how they can get in touch with you if they have questions? Because we have only a few more minutes.
Yes. They can, of course, probably the easiest if they contact me through my email, which is eva.kdeli@gmail.com. I have also a phone number. I would love your listeners to call me. And from the U.S., they have to call 011-3620-923-8956. I can repeat it, 011-3620-923-8956. And they can get in touch if they go to my blog, my website. I have evadeli.com or thescienceofconsciousness.com, both websites. There is contact information there. And I would love your listeners to get in touch with me. I can work with them individually. I can give talks. And I would love to talk about my book. I would love to talk about these ideas.
Well, listen, I actually wanted to, I am recognizing, I wanted to get you back. I don't know when we can work this out, but what I was also really looking for, I really wanted to get in touch about your cancer research and, you know, being, what I was looking for, the cell biology. Those are a lot of things that I have interested about, so.
Sure. And I would love to come back on your show. Let's hope that the technology will be kinder to us next time.
Listen, just think about our emotional gravity. Come on.
yes, exactly. And we weren't even budged. We had no negative emotions, so that's great.
Absolutely. Well, Eva, listen, I appreciate very much for, you know, staying up for so long. And it was absolutely amazing information. And I will get in touch with you and figure out how we can get you back, because there's so much more stuff here. And I think there's incredible valuable information that actually can benefit our listeners. So Listen, thank you so much for being on the show. And I appreciate, you know, your information, and talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me. Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night, folks. Thank you so much.